Right. Good evening. So this is the first in a three-part series. I thought that after the last series, which was the theology of illness, was very heavy. So we should do something a little lighter for this series. And I have a chavrusa with someone where we're going through Minchas Asher. We're just learning the tshuvos, the responsa. And recently we've been doing his marriage ones. And the topics are fun topics. And so on that basis, I said, all right, so let's just grab three of them and do those for this series. So tonight, as you see on your sheet, is Minchas Asher Chelek Beis Tshuva Ayin Dalet, the question of was love unright? Meaning, as we'll see, is there an order of precedence for marriage? Do we say that, in fact, Lo Yaseh Kein B'Mekomeinu, which should not be done thus here, we're not going to let the younger one get married before the older one? Next week, I think the topic is the Bitzli wedding ring. Right, the classic question that comes up every few years at some summer camp or in a school, where a guy gives a girl something of value, perhaps it's a prize from a Cracker Jack box, if they have those anymore, I don't know. Or in the case that he was dealing with a piece of Bisley and he puts it on her finger and says the Harayat formula, and the question of, so how are you going to get out of this one? Does she actually require a get? And then I forget what we had for the third one. Anyone remember? Hi. The third one, God willing, at the right time, we'll discuss. But the one for tonight is indeed the story of Laban and Yaakov. And the question was, who was right? We remember the story. Yaakov says that he wants to marry Rachel. He tells Laban, I will work for you for 7 years for Rachel Bitcha Haktana. Right? Thinking that he's really being very clear-cut. It's Rachel, it's your daughter, it's the younger one. And lo and behold, turns out that it is Leah. He ends up marrying Leah, and then he has to spend another 7 years working. That's the basic story. So, here, Eddie. That's the basic story. So I would have thought, and this is my thought process as you start reading the tshuva, and he gets the he reports the question. The answer is Yaakov's right. Right? Isn't Yaakov always right against Laban? Like, why would you think otherwise? Unless you're dealing with like stolen trafim, where it's not fair because Yaakov didn't have information. But otherwise, we assume that Yaakov is correct. Laban is wrong. He's a bad guy, and you can marry off whoever you want to marry off first. That's the assumption you make going into the story, and then you learn a little bit more and find out actually not so fast. And what we're going to do is see the sources that Rav Asher Weiss brings to bear to address this question, and some of it will be from his tshuva, and some of it will be just the sources that he's using. And then once we've seen his answer, I also want to discuss some side points that come up in the course of the tshuva. One is an interesting story involving the Chasam Sofer, other issues that are tangential, but we're going to discuss them all, God willing. So if you take a look at sources Aleph and Beis, you get the psukim that start us off on addressing this question. The daughters of Tzelachad. The first story from Parshas Pinchas, and then the second one from Parshas Maaseh. First one in Parshas Pinchas, a story that hopefully is familiar. The daughters of Tzelachad come to Moshe, the Elash Mos Benosav, and here are their names, Machla, Noah, Chogla, Milka, and Tirza. Five daughters of Tzelachad, their actual point, the issue of inheritance for women, has nothing to do with the shear. But they show up in front of Moshe, these are the five. We find out in the course of the story that in fact they do inherit land. And then we are told at the end of Parshas Maaseh, the end in fact of Sefer Bamidbar, that we have a problem. The problem is that if they in fact inherit land, right, they're from the tribe of what? Menasheh, thank you. They're from the tribe of Menasheh. They inherit land. They get married, right? At some point, that land passes to the next generation. And let's say their husband is from the tribe of, I don't know, Dun. The land now becomes part of Shevet Dun. You're going to take five chunks of land out of Menasheh and hand them to Dun. And if this happens over and over again with women in general, the result is going to be that you're going to take apart the Shevet property. because little by little, sections of the land from each Shevet are going to be transplanted to other Shvatim.
But it all evens out in the end.
Well, it doesn't. It evens out in the sense that one tribe will gain elsewhere where it lost here, but you lose the whole concept of having Shevet land. In other words, there's a great discussion in its own right of why give land, why assign land by Shvatim? Aren't you damaging the national unity? Right? That's its own discussion. And there's a lot to be said about why you want Shevet property. And maybe if there's time at the end, we can discuss that. But clearly that's what they're afraid of. And the solution given in Parshas Maaseh is to say, if a woman inherits land, she has to marry within her own Shevet. The Gemara talks about who this was actually bound for, how long did this decree last, but that's the rule that's stated in Parshas Maaseh. And take a look at Beis. V'tehiyena machlat tirtza v'chogla u'milka v'noa v'not slavcha l'vnei dodeihen l'nashim. Machlat tirtza chogla milka noa. Marry their cousins. They marry within the Shevet. In fact, the Gemara says they didn't have to, but they did anyway. They marry within the Shevet. But what's odd in our list in source Beis? I bolded it. Sorry?
The order.
Right, we changed the order. Before it was Machla Noah Chagla Milka Tirtza. Now it's Machla Tirtza Chagla Milka Noah. So why exactly did we change the order? Why did we shuffle them? That's the question. The Gemara Bava Basra, source Gimel, gives an answer. Lahalan Mina'an Hakasuv Derech Gidulasan, Vikan Derech Chochmasan. The Gemara's answer is that we actually have different orderings based on different traits. The first ordering is based on their wisdom. When they come to Moshe with their question, you can visit here. To Moshe with their question, then they are listed based on their chokhmah, their wisdom. Whereas when they get married, it's derech gidulasan, and it's based on their age. So the actual order in which they were born is what you saw in Beis: Machla, Tirtza, Chagla, Milka, and Noah. Misayele le Rabbi Ami, and this supports Rabbi Ami. De Amar Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami says, Bi yeshiva halach achar chokhmah. When you're sitting together, meaning to learn, then people should sit in the order of their wisdom. Right? That's why I asked Chaim just now to sit at the head right there. There you go. Bimisiba, whereas when it comes to a feast, halach achar zikna. Then you go based on age. And Ravashi says, not so fast, v'hudim maflik b'chachma, v'hudim maflik b'zikna. It depends. Is it a clear-cut difference in wisdom? Is it a clear-cut difference in age? If they're very similar in age, if they're very similar in wisdom, then you don't start ordering them. It's only where everybody knows this person is a greater chacham, or this person is much older. So the Gemara there says, as I bolded, in Mesiba, at a feast, you follow age. Now, if you asked me what that Gemara meant, my answer would be, that means that you have a big party, you invite people to your party, you have them sit in the order of their age. In other words, there's a head table, so you put the older people at the head table in a position of dignity and honor and all that. That's not what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam in Source Dalet says, Kishen nisu benos slavchad. When the daughters of Slavchad got married, Minan hakasuv derach gidulasan. It listed them based on age. In other words, Source Beis was the age listing. Dechsiv atiyena machla tirtza chagla milka noa benos slavchad of neidu ve'en l'nashim. Umistaber dekach noldu. It makes sense that they were actually born in that order. Why? Why should I assume that they're listed in their birth order when you're talking about their marriage? Kedichsim, because the pasuk says, he quotes you, Lavan. Because that's the way we do things here. We do not marry off the younger before the older. So Rashbam on the Gemara in Bava Basra says that when we say at a feast you follow age, what that means is when you marry them off, you marry them off in age order, just like Lavan. Oh boy. Now we have problems, right? Problem number one, why are you poskening like Lavan? Right? Yaakov didn't think this was a thing. Yaakov thought he could marry Rachel first. Why are you taking Lavan over Yaakov? Right? I think that's a problem. Second problem, This is Kodem Matan Torah. This is before the Torah was given. Why is there any halachic standing to what Lavan did in Aram? Why does that become our halacha? Right? Number one, it's in Aram. And number two, it's before Matan Torah. So what kind of game are you playing here? Why is this an issue? Nonetheless, Rabbeinu Tam seems to have taken this position. Take a look at Tosas and Kiddushin, which I brought you in source Hey. Maisa ba lifnei Rabbeinu Tam. Case came before Rabbeinu Tam, grandson of Rashi. Bibno shel harav Rabbeinu Oshia Halevi, Shekidesh bas Ashir Echad. Rabbi Oshia Halevi, Tam Chacham of the time, had a son who did Kiddushin with the daughter of a certain wealthy man. Va'amar, he said to the wealthy man, Bitcha Mikudeshes Li. He said to the wealthy man, I am married to your daughter. Your daughter is married to me. He used the formula of Kiddushin, Stama, without differentiating, without explaining which daughter he was marrying. V'lopirish plonis bitcha. He didn't say which one it was. V'amar Rabbeinu Tam, the Mikudeshes. And Rabbeinu Tam said, as a result, all the daughters are presumed, they're not presumed, they're in suffix of Kiddushin to this young man, the son of Rabbi Oshia Halevi. Afilu pirish nami afilu bepeh. At the time of the Shiruch, yesh lanu lomar dekidesh hagedola mishum delo yaseh chen bimakomenu laseis hatsiyirah levnei abechira. Rabbeinu Tam said no. Not that all of them are considered to be under Kiddushin, but rather we assume he meant the oldest daughter. Because that's the way we do things. We don't marry off the younger before the older. So therefore, you can assume the Kiddushin was for the oldest. That was Rabbeinu Tam's ruling. V'harav Rabbeinu Menachem biyuni nechlak olav v'amar da'ah avinami k'misha kiddush achas mishtei achas. Rabbeinu Menachem disagreed, quoting you, a source in the Gemara about a man who married one of two sisters, and we don't know which one. V'am Rabbeinu Tam chazer bavalo avaruvda. And Rabbeinu Tam backed down in the end. But he doesn't clarify why Rabbeinu Tam backed down. It sounds like he felt this really is a valid principle. Mikey?
Oldest divorced one as well.
Didn't say. Doesn't say. So here you have Rashbam for sure, and possibly Rabbeinu Tam endorsing the view of Lavan. And the tour. In addition to the Rishonim that we saw, now we get into works of Halacha. Take a look at source Vav, please. The tour in Hilchos Kavod Rabo V'Tamach Chacham, the laws of honoring your Rebbe and the laws of honoring Torah, honoring Tamach Chacham. B'yeshiva shel din o shel Torah. When gathered for din, or when gathered to learn Torah, holchin achar ha-chochma. You go with the wise one. L'hoshiv ha-chochem u'bachur b'rosh, l'daber t'chila. You put the chacham at the head. U'b'mesiva shel mishte. And at a party, o shel nisuin, or at a wedding, holchim achar ha-zikna l'hoshiv o'b'rosh. You go with the one who is older, putting the older at the head. Now here, it just sounds like the way I understood the Gemara Bava Basra. It just means when you have your guests seated at the wedding, so you put the older people towards the guest of honor or towards the seat of honor. But that's not the way the Bach understood it in source number 7. The Bach instead writes the following: Tema, amai itzrich lafarish shal nisu and tfei mishar mesiba shal mishta. He says, why did the Torah say a party of mishta or of wedding? Why specify a wedding? Once you say party, everybody knows that includes weddings. Those are parties. Venira dahai shal nisu and hachi perushu. He says, I'll explain to you what the words shal nisu and meant. Im achim o achios yasu lahem nisuin. If brothers or sisters are getting married, avagav she'echad godol mechaveru bechokma, even though one of them is greater than the other in wisdom, lo yakdimu lasas nisuin lekatan b'shanim. Don't marry off the younger one first. Mibneshu godol bechokma, just because he's greater in wisdom. Ela yakdimu lasas nisuin legodol b'shanim, avabishu katan bechokma. Rather, you first marry off the older one, even if the older one is not as big a Tamach Chacham as the younger one. And he quotes you the Gemara Bava Basra that we just talked about. And in fact, the Shach in Yeredeya Reish Mem Dalet Yud Gimel quotes this Bach. Wow. Did you ever hear this? That this should be a principle? That we should say you only marry off the older one first? I mean, outside of reading it in the Chumash? this, when you read it, you're like, I started the tshuva thinking that he's going to laugh it off and say, no, we don't paskin like Lavan. But right now, you know, the Bach and the Shach are pretty good as articulators of halacha. They it sounds really, really strange.
What the Bach is saying seems, I'm not sure if he's saying exactly that it should always be in order of age, but he seems to be saying it doesn't have to be in order of wisdom. Just because you're wise doesn't mean you get married first.
Is that what he's saying?
That's kind of the way I was hearing.
Take a look. Okay, so take a look at the bold part. If brothers or sisters are getting married, even though one of them is greater than the other in wisdom, don't do the one for the younger one first.
Yeah, just because he's greater in wisdom.
No, not just because. Even though he's greater, don't do the younger one first. In other words, even though you had a reason to do the younger one first, you said, well, they're more respected, still don't do it. It's not saying ignore wisdom. It's saying ignore wisdom, even where it flies in the face. Ignore wisdom where it flies in the face of age. Age is the priority. That's what he's saying here.
It sounds like in Bach, there's two, I guess, brothers and sisters that are possibly engaged or doing them, making a wedding at the same general time.
Where do you see that?
So it sounds like they're relatively similar time frame.
Interesting. So Ari floats an idea. Maybe this is talking about where the two of them are about to get married. And it's only a question of which one do you take care of first. So the truth is, I don't see it so much in the Bach, but we are going to see that idea in general. We are going to see that idea in general. But first I want to ask the question.
Maybe Yaakov didn't know who was the older one.
Did Yaakov not know? He said, Rachel Bitcha Ketana, your younger daughter Rachel. Lavan tried that trick also. He said, oh, I didn't know what you meant. Yaakov absolutely knows that Rachel is the younger one.
He's a single child.
Right. Well, who's an only child? If he had been his only child, he would have been hanging out at Lavan's house. So the whole story is a very strange story, and it's very interesting because when the poskim deal with this issue, they deal with it in the context of the stories from the Chumash. So, for example, one of the questions that comes up is there some element of kibud av ve'im involved such that it won't apply if the father has already passed away? Now, the truth is kibud av ve'im exists even posthumously, but that's the question that's asked. But the answer that they give is, well, look at the daughters of Slavcha, their father's gone. And yet, this is still a thing, so to speak. So, first of all, in terms of answering why you would follow Lavan over Yaakov, so Rav Asher Weiss quotes the Maharsham in his Sefer Tcheles Mordechai as offering a remarkably sharp answer. It's a great answer. He says, Yaakov and Esav are twins, right? We know this. Yaakov is the younger one, Esav is the older one. Yaakov ends up, though, getting the Bechora. Right? Yaakov gets the birthright, and he gets the bracha as well, of course, you know, as we know. He buys the birthright, and he manipulates to get the bracha. What's Yaakov's justification for his maneuvers to try to get the rights of the firstborn? The classic medrash on why Yaakov is right. Classic medrash on twins. Entirely abiological. Yeah, the idea that if you imagine for yourself the twins actually implanting in the uterus, so the one who was created first goes into the uterus and is implanted in the uterus first, and therefore the second one in implants closer to the entrance / exit, and therefore the one who was born first was actually formed second. Right? Imagine that. I mean, this is again not biological, but the
first in, last out.
Right, first in, last out, precisely. Computer programmers will recognize this from stacks and data management and so on. But if you have a plastic bag and you put one thing in first and then you put another thing in second and then you pull somebody out, you're gonna get the second one first.
Well, we don't even know that because Roger the Metric tells us that. Because you don't, yeah, assuming babies move.
I mean, again, right, this is not a biological statement. But the point that the Marsham says is I can use this to explain how both Yaakov and Lavan were right, tying it into another idea in Medrash that Rachel and Leah were also twins. Rachel and Leah were also twins. Take a look at source Ches.
Well, Leah, she realized she was the older one, and she was crying, and she was unhappy, and she thought she was going to have to marry Esav.
Right, so you have this medrash about her being slated for Esav, although that doesn't come up in this.
He was the older one, and that's
very right. Correct, but take a look at Ches. You're right. Terutz nifla umechudad kasev agon amarsham b'sefer tchelas Mordechai ala Torah. Rav Asher Weiss quotes a very sharp answer from the tchelas Mordechai. Dehine. Kasev Rashi parshas toldos. Debitaomim harishon liyitzirahu ha'achron lepete rechem. That when you're dealing with twins, the first one formed is the second one out of the womb. Ube'emes haya Yaakov ha'bechor. So Yaakov is really the firstborn. Since Esav was the one who emerged first, Yaakov must have been formed first, so he's the firstborn. And Yaakov followed his own view then, that Rachel is also the firstborn. What do you mean? Lefima shekasa b'sefer nachal gedumim of the chida. De Rachel v'Leah ta'omos hayu. That Rachel and Leah were also twins. Elisha Leah nola chila. Leah was the older of the two twins. Barei l'shita social Yaakov. So if you follow Yaakov's view that the one who's born second is actually the older one, hasheni l'leido harishon liyitzira. This first one, the second one born, is the first one in terms of when they were formed. Mishum kach saber haya she Rachel hi habachora. So he thought Rachel was the firstborn. V'yesh la'asiyah tchilin. She should get married first. La'olam ein Yaakov cholik al divrei Lavan shelo yayasakin b'mekomein la'aseis hatzira l'fnei adachira. Yaakov does not disagree with Lavan. Yaakov and Lavan are in agreement that in fact the older one gets married first, but Yaakov thought that he and Rachel were the older. That was Yaakov's svara. So writes the Marsham. I also brought you in source test just to note that this idea that they were twins is a much earlier source than the Chida. It's in the Medrash Seder Olam. In source test, Rachel and Leah nasu bnos chavbeis chavbeis shayu ta'omos. That Rachel and Leah were both 22 years old when they got married. They were twins. Frankly, if they were twins, then I have a problem a little bit with our Gemara, right? Because our Gemara said you only go in terms of age order in the event that there's a clear gap in between. I don't care what your gap was for twins. It's not a clear, you couldn't look at them and know that one of them is much older, is older than the other one. Nonetheless, that's the Marsham's justification. But the Minchas Asher says, not so fast with this whole thing. He says, and this goes back to Ari's idea, he says the idea of putting the older one first is if they're both ready to get married. B'nidi hava maisa. This actually happened in my family. I didn't know this tshuva at the time. Frankly, the tshuva had not been written at the time. But my older brother and I got engaged basically several weeks apart. And we got married, and one of us got married before the 3 weeks, and one of us got married after the 3 weeks. So he got married before the 3 weeks, and I got married after the 3 weeks. So we were mekayim this shuvah of the Menchas Asher. He says that's the case that you have to be talking about here, and he says it's logical to say that. Take a look at source Yud. V'lechor ha'yanir alafiyani is daiti. He says, in my humble opinion, I think. He says this is only talking about when you have to put them in order. When they're both waiting to get married. And the question is, so who's going first? Who's going second? And he says, I think that's what the Bach was actually saying. Because he said, do the one for the older one first. So he reads in, as Ari did, that means they're both ready to get married. Hare the Maimi, Kishnayim Yasu Nisuin, Vashela Eze Mesiba Lahakdin. You're doing it for both. The only question is which party goes first. Like the whole discussion about who goes first in terms of mitzvos and brachos, which is again where they're both available. Meaning, when I have a question of you have cookies and you have fruit, right? Which one do you make the bracha on first? Right? The classic question. So that's because you have cookies and fruit in front of you. Right? If I have fruit in front of me, I have an apple that I'm about to eat, and there are cookies in the cabinet, and I might go take them out a little bit later to eat. I don't have to go take the cookies out of the cabinet and make a mizonos on the cookies before I have my fruit. It's when they're both sitting in front of me that this is an issue. So not to compare, you know, siblings want to get married, cookies and fruit, but he did it. That's our case. But if they've reached age to look to get married, there is neither obligation nor mitzvah for the younger one to wait. He's going to change that tone a little bit later on. We'll see. And he says, this isn't even a question when you're dealing with males. You have a mitzvah of pururavu. Even for a woman who doesn't have such an obligation, nonetheless, it's better. She wants to be married. She doesn't want to sit alone. She does not need to wait for her older sister. And then he says, this has to be that way. Because otherwise, what are you going to do? Are you really going to force younger siblings to wait until the older sibling is able to get married? He says, it has to be so, misvara, logically. Because otherwise, we have no idea how long the younger one's going to have to wait. You have to wait forever for her. She can't get married. She has to wait. He says, you can't imagine such a thing. So what are you going to do? Tell her to wait a year? Tell her to wait 18 months? You're going to make up numbers? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Does it matter the age?
So he's going to come back to that. Not in this part of it, but we're going to see it in Yud Beis. So it's a good question. We just have to...
If they're 18, it's different than if they're 30.
Correct. Correct. And that's going to, like I said, we're going to hit that. Well, according to this, the rule doesn't even apply in his case. Leah, you quoted before the idea that Leah is supposed to marry Esau.
Yeah.
But according to this, that's not on the table. That's not right in front of them. If it's right in front of them, so then let her go marry Esau first, and then let Rachel marry Yaakov. but otherwise, he is entirely consistent with Laban. If anything, Lavan is the one who's doing it wrong. Lavan is enforcing a rule that shouldn't really apply in this circumstance. That's the idea.
Yeah, it's like there's been not an insignificant amount of hand-wringing that parents go through when their children are in shidduchim, and they have one older and one younger, and they, you know, they're a lot of angst there.
Yeah.
All of these types of situations. But
absolutely.
They, you know,
no, absolutely, and there are psychological concerns, there are emotional concerns with it. But he's saying from a halachic perspective, don't wait. And he says, "V'kal v'chomer advarim." He says, "Look, Misha wrote to lasis taktana leisha ain't a lot kol kpeda." You know, we're pretending that it's only the siblings involved in this calculation, but there's somebody else in the marriage, right? It's all well and good. You have two sisters, right? Bela and Shprinza are sisters, and Bela is older, and Shprinza is younger. So Shprinza says, "Well, I don't want to do anything because I have to wait for my older sister Bela, right? What about the guy who wants to marry Shprinza? He has to sit there and wait for Bela also." He has the mitzvah for a rule. He has to marry Bela. That's the answer. He says, you can't tell the intended of the younger one, you have to wait because her older sister hasn't found her guy yet. Ubederev ze nira pashut. De achein nag lavan minag ramos benos no Yaakov is laya tachas Rachel. And he says, so lavan indeed was playing games. He tricked Yaakov. The Yaakov avinu chavetz haya barachel, but ze mitzvah so. Yaakov wants my Rachel. That's his mitzvah. Vegam Rachel lo haisa mitzuva lehiman amilinas ele Yaakov. And Rachel had no reason not to marry Yaakov. Velachein pasha lavan besheker uva ramos. What Lavan did was a lie and was trickery. His statement was true. We do marry off the older one before the younger one, where they're both before us to get married, but it had nothing to do with his case. So he says that's the idea. He calls an era pashut ubaru lefiyanias daiti. He says to me that is clear. Okay, so that gives us his basic answer to the question. That's our basic question and answer. But now we get some interesting side notes. The first side note is a story of the Chasam Sofer. Apparently this happened to the Chasam Sofer. Source Yer Aleph. Ubeigros Sofer Matsinu Michtav Mufla Shabeno Chasam Sofer Be'inyan Nisue Bito Lefnei Achia Agodol Rabbi Shimon Sofer. The Chasam Sofer has a son, Rabbi Shimon Sofer, and he has a daughter who is not named in the tshuva. But but she wants to get married before her older brother. So the Chasam Sofer writes a letter to his prospective mechutin, the father of the guy who his daughter is interested in. He wants to delay the wedding up to 2 years. Hoping that in the 2 years he'll find a good match for his son Rav Shimon and he'll be able to get married. The Havias Hadibnot Slavchad, and the Chasam Sofer quotes this business with Ibnot Slavchad about indeed going in the age order. The Kasav, and he wrote, the Gam Siperli Moi Varabi Agon Yisrael, etc., Rabbi Nassan Adler, Chibididei Havi Uvda Benichshol. He says, my Rabbi Rabbi Nassan Adler, and you have to know, Rabbi Nassan Adler was a major, major, major influence on the Chasam Sofer in many, many ways. Rabbi Nassan Adler was his Rabbi Muvhak in many ways. So he says, Rabbi Nassan Adler had this come up himself. No, different Nathan Adler. Yeah. Now, Rav Nassan Adler that we're talking about is about 100 years, I think, before that one. 80 to 100 years before that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he says, it happened to him, and he was nichshol. He did it wrong. He had the younger one get married. He says, I am not going to trespass Torah for the sake of sichas nashim, the talk of women. I don't know what he means by that. I don't know if maybe women were talking about why isn't she getting married. That he does not make clear in this excerpt. But the Chasam Sofer said, I want my daughter to wait up to 2 years for my older son to get married. Yeah. Correct. We're going to come back to that as well.
It doesn't matter.
Sorry.
The Bach goes from both together.
Well, he said two brothers and two sisters. But here you have a brother and a sister. It's going to come up also in this Maharsham in Yud Beis. So the Maharsham is your answer to all your questions. But he says, V'chidush gadol devarav. Rav Asher Weiss says, what the Chasam Sofer says here, this idea of wait 2 years, that's a chiddush. De'avshek varba v'kishrei shiduchin. Here, she's already ready to get married. They did the shidduch stage already. Yena mazug b'tivcha tavuach. He borrows from the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos talks about the case, Rachman al-Islan, where they're supposed to get married, and the meal is all set, and then Avelos kicks in. And then one of them loses the parents, and the question is, do you do the wedding? And the answer is, if the wine is already poured, and the meat is already shechted, and therefore they'll suffer a big loss, so they go ahead and they do the wedding. The whole Torah of how that's done. But he uses the phrase, the wine is poured, the meat is shechted, meaning we're all set for her to get married. The Chasam Sofer's daughter is going to get married. Mikomakom bikesh marana ha Chasam Sofer la'akim nisuah. And he said, no, we got to wait. Omnam nira borer. De'ein ze'ele mishum shelo haya kochshash ve'ila shetisparera chavilai. So it must be that Chasim Sofer was really confident that there's no way this wedding's getting called off. And when you're the Chasim Sofer, I think maybe you have a certain confidence in this regard. And therefore, she should wait for the older brother. But he says, I have to say, this is a novelty. The chasan, the guy who's waiting, has a mitzvah. Why should he have to lose his mitzvah for 2 years while he waits for her older brother to find somebody? We also pick up along the way that that it's only the marriage that he wants to have weight. Not the erisin. He doesn't mean kiddushin versus nisuin. He means, as written in parentheses, shiduchin. They were able to arrange the marriage. That was fine. You just didn't want to go through to the wedding. Shere lo chashash ha-chasim sofer la-shadech bito atziru lefnei achia ha-gadol. He did the shiduchin. Rak b'nisuin chashash. V'ulayzeh mishum chashash shameyak dimenu achem v'rachmim. And the reason for that presumably is because he's worried somebody's going to dive into Hashem and beat out his daughter for this shidduch. So you can do the shidduch first. But then he says, he comes up later on in the tshuva with an answer for why the chasim sofer did this. He says you have to assume that what's going on is this. The young man who wants to marry the daughter of the Chasim Sofer must have been a very serious Talmid Chacham. He loved Torah. And in such circumstances, he's allowed to delay his marriage. As brought in the Rambam, he gives you the citation. And then he says, and the Kala was happy to wait for her older brother. So if there's no issue involved, so okay, wait for the older one. That's his justification for the Chasim Sofer. Maybe the guy was sitting and learning, and she didn't care, and therefore it was okay. So I brought that just as a side note, because it's interesting to have this biographical information about the Chasim Sofer. But what about the question that was asked regarding males and females, as well as the issue of age? So that comes up in a tshuva of the Marsham. Both of those questions are in this this tshuva. Take a look at Yud Beis. The case is Be'achad Shahayulam Ishto Banos. A man had a wife. They produced daughters. Umesa Isha, Rahmana Litzlan, his wife passed away. Venasa Acheres, and he married again. Vaholi Menabas, and then he had a daughter from the second wife. Okay, so he has daughters from multiple marriages. Umes Ha'av, and then he died. Veishto Hashenis, Nises La'acher, his second wife, marries somebody else. Vehechzik Bita Etzla, the second husband takes in her daughter, right, from her previous marriage. Ukshagadla baschaf beis shanim. She reaches the age of 22. Asa ima shidduch im Talmid Chacham Ashir. He sets up a shidduch with a wealthy Talmid Chacham, great guy. Ve'ata, and now habas hagdola mimena, the older sister from the father's first wife. Right, Habasa Gedolim, and a Ma'akeves. She says, "No, you can't get married." Mitam lo yasek, hey, b'mekomein lo seiz atzira lefnei bechira. So again, let's make sure we understand what's going on here. You have half sisters, right? You have half sisters. The younger half sister has a stepfather who has arranged a wonderful shidduch with a guy who's a Talmid Chacham, and he's got money, and she wants to marry him, and she's 22 years old. She has an older half sister though, who's still single. Right? So the question is, do you make her wait? So in his discussion he says, V'gam hu sha'atz hadchak. This was considered to be a case of need. Ki abechira kvar baschav zayin shanim v'lo nizdame la shidduch. Because the older sister is 27. She doesn't have a shidduch yet. Obviously in the Marsham's day, a couple of hundred years ago, this was considered to be very old. What it is today and how people think about this today is not the discussion for right now. But he says, "Bevadei lo shayach iser zeh." So he says, you can't tell me there's an iser for the 22-year-old, that she should have to wait because the 27-year-old sister hasn't found anybody yet. U'befrat shekvar nishtad chalotam al-chacham asher, especially when she has such a good shidduch, mi yodeim izdaman l'shein shidduch kazeh. Who knows if she's going to get another shidduch like that. V'iser zeh eino rak b'chal nimus l'derech eretz. He says, the whole idea of waiting is just a matter of manners. It's not a halachic requirement. And he says, granted that the Shulchan Aruch mentions this din, still ain't no din gomor. It's not a full-blown halachic obligation. So the Maharsham, his statement is that, yes, if you've reached a certain age, and for him, for a girl, he decides that 22 is the age. I think it's going to matter, it's going to vary based on society and culture and the way people's dating habits work. But he says, she's reached that age, he feels like it's inappropriate for her to wait for the older sister. Eddie?
Is there a magic thing about 22?
No, that was just the case. That was the case in front of him. The last line in Yud Beis, though, he adds one more note. Ubetshuva acheres kasavti. In another tshuva, I wrote the davarzeh lo shayach rak b'shtei banos. He says, I think this whole issue of waiting is only where you're talking about two girls. Mashein came to ben ubas, not where there is a son and a daughter. And certainly not where there are two sons. Shaben mitzvah period riv yevelo abbas, because the son has a mitzvah per revu and therefore does not wait. So in the view of the Maharsham, it's actually never going to apply to males. The Bach and the Shach did apply it to males, but the Maharsham believes that it should not be applied to the case of males. So you've answered both questions. Number one, age matters. And number two, there's less room to argue to apply this to males. Okay, yeah.
Males or male has an older sister?
So he mentions male-female, but it's certainly going to be true if it's male-male as well. His point in distinguishing was to say the man has a mitzvah per revu.
This is older brothers, though.
Right. That doesn't change the fact that the younger one has a mitzvah per revu. Yeah. No. The Maharsham's argument is compelling that this is female specific. But a couple of other notes, three other notes. He said before in source Yud, he says there is not an obligation and there is not even a mitzvah. Right? He even said there was no mitzvah. He changes his mind, it appears, the Menchas Asher does, in Yud Gimel, from later in the Tshuva. He says, Mikomakum Nira, still it appears, Dim Tirza Hatsi'ira Lahamtin Mitoch His Chashvus Berikshay Achosa Gedola. If the younger sister says, I want to wait because of the feelings of my older sister, Lizchus Yechashev La, Ubevade Midas Chasidusi. It's meritorious. It's considered midas chasidus. But he says benido in the Maharsham. In the Maharsham's case, af midas chasidus lo haya bazeh. There's nothing. There is no midas chasidus in that case. Mechsha shema chalila tisparida chavila v'teishav et shi'al ben rosha, because you could ruin the engagement she currently has, and she could end up not being able to find somebody because she's waiting to find someone like that first one that she lost. Say he does not. He does not support waiting. He definitely doesn't want the girl to wait in a case where it could really damage things for her going forward. But he does believe in general it's meritorious to be considerate of this. Next to last point, Rav Moshe in source Yudalit. Rav Moshe dealt with this issue and came up with, I think, basically the same conclusions that Rav Asher Weiss comes to on this point, saying that the only reason to wait, really, is if they're both ready to get married. It's just a question of who's getting married first, but not where one of them is not ready to get married. But Rav Moshe adds what I thought was a valuable point. I quoted this recently to a bar mitzvah boy who was going to do certain things for his bar mitzvah, which other bar mitzvah boys don't do. And he was worried that it would embarrass the others if he does this, and it's going to, you know, going to make them feel bad that they didn't do it. The specific case was laning haftarah from a cloth. it's available at the Bayit. And the truth of the matter is that it has the dots in it. You know, it's not well vocalized, like it's still hard to, you have to know it in order to do it, but the dots are in there. So take a look at Source Yadalid. Ramosha is dealing with this issue here, with the issue that we're talking about. Masharatza kvotaras harav lomar. De'ula yeshlat sa'ir lihimana mishumshu boshes avur hagadol. He says, maybe, the argument was put to Rav Moshe, maybe the younger one should refrain because it's embarrassing for the older one. It's like lightening somebody's face. That's a very serious isser, embarrassing somebody. Unfortunately, people think that they're sensitive, but like they'll go up to somebody in Simcha and say, Amir Tzashem Bayu, without thinking about the effect that it has on the person that they're talking to. So it's not without merit, this argument. Hine gam le'inyan haboshes hu rak shebe'atzmo mizbayesh mizeh. The harbe yeshem is achon milisa b'shvil harbe ta'amim. He says, not so fast, pulling the busha argument, the embarrassment argument. The truth of the matter is that there are lots of reasons why people get married later. Im b'shvil sheyesh rotzim lilmod shechosh v'shachar nisuin sheyiyeh rechayim b'tzavar l'yuchal lilmod. He says some people want to wait because they want to learn longer, because they know once they get married they have to support their wife and they're going to have to get a job and all of that, so they want to learn now. K'nisa b'kiddushin chavtas im b'shvil inyan parnasa shirotzim listader beza umnus uchadome. They want to get a degree and get a job before they're going to go out and get married, so that's another reason to wait. So you don't have to be embarrassed about waiting. Can be okay. There are lots of reasons why people wait. Or she is waiting for a guy who actually has a job. He then adds a separate note. He says the Gemara in Yevamos says that a man should marry a woman who's not of his social standing. He should go down a step. He says, what are you going to do if you have an older sibling who's looking for, your older brother in his case, who's looking for somebody of very high standing, and that's why they're taking a long time and they don't want to follow the Gemara's advice and marry somebody of lower social standing? So therefore you can make the younger one wait. But then the last point is the point that I was mentioning more about the embarrassment. You can't prohibit somebody from going about his business and taking care of his own needs out of concern that somebody else will be embarrassed by Meshulo Tzakamoso because he didn't have the same success as this fellow did. You're not going to ever do anything because you're worried that it's going to put somebody to shame. I see no reason whatsoever why you shouldn't be able to get married. First, just the opposite. He merits a great mitzvah of marriage, peruvu, .. He says, who davar borer ledina? He says, that's very clear. So I thought that was a very interesting point. Last point. Let me just summarize and make sure that we know where we've been here. We brought the Rishonim who seemed to support Lavan from the order with the daughters of Slavchad, as explained by the Rashbam and Bava Basra, and Rabbeinu Tam in the case of unclear Kiddushin in the Gemara Kiddushin. We had the Tur who seems to follow this position of the Rashbam. The Bach who assumes that the Tur is indeed talking about marriage, not just where you sit in a meal. The Shach who says that as well. We asked, why would you file Lavan against Yaakov? So our first answer was you could come up with a cute solution and say if Rachel and Leah are twins, then in fact Yaakov thinks he's marrying the older one, but Lavan thinks he's marrying the younger one. That's fine. With a more substantive answer of the Menchas Asher, which is yes, we follow Lavan, but not in Yaakov's case. We follow the idea of marrying off the older first, where they're both ready to get married. But in a case like Yaakov, like Rachel and Leah, Leah isn't ready to get married. Esav is, I don't know, Esav's off learning. Whatever
she
it is that he's
doing. Ready to get married.
That's the assumption, that she wasn't. She wasn't. Who's she getting married to?
That she didn't have anybody to get married to. But
yeah, so she's not.
She wasn't, didn't want to get married. She wasn't ready to get married.
Right, but that's what we mean by ready. Ready to get married means you have a chasm. that means that there's somebody there. It's just a matter of booking the hall. So in that case, yeah, then you should let the older one get married first. But otherwise, we do not paskin that way. We saw the Chasam Sofer's personal experience with this, having his daughter wait up to 2 years. We don't know what the actual date was that they ended up getting married. We saw that this doesn't necessarily apply to males. And also, as they get older, then we say there's more of an imperative not to wait. He said that, Melchis Asher said that if you want to wait out of sensitivity, that's his chus for her. But Ramosha says, don't worry about busha. Don't worry about embarrassing by you going about your basic needs. Last point. I asked a question in the beginning. This is before Matan Torah with Aram. Why does anybody think this should be halacha? See, here I point you to Yerushalmi and Moed Kaza.
I thought that the rabbi said kept the whole Torah before.
They did, but this is Lavan talking. At the end of the day, this is Lavan presenting the idea, and that which existed before the Torah, I'll quote you from the Rambam. The Rambam, in his commentary to the Mishnah on Chulin, says that which is stated before the Torah is given and then repeated after Har Sinai is an obligatory mitzvah for us. So, for example, Bris Milah, mentioned first in Lech Lecha, but repeated in Parshas Tazria. So therefore, it's a mitzvah. But if a mitzvah is only stated before Matan Torah and not repeated later on, it's not an obligation for us. That's a basic principle. There's more to be said about it, obviously, but that's a basic principle. But the poskim on this issue, and specifically the Divrei Yatziv, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, who was the Rebbe of Rav Asher Weiss, actually, the Divrei Yatziv asks this question. The question of, why are you bringing me a policy from before Matan Torah? And he points you to the Maariv Panim on the Yerushalmi and Moed Katan on a different topic altogether. The Yerushalmi asks a question. How do we, it's really a Mishnah in Moed Katan, says, you're not allowed to get married on Yantif. Right? You don't get married on Moed. Yantif Chomoed, we don't hold weddings then. Why not? When did you get married on Chomoed? Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, correct. So the Yerushalmi in Source Tezvav gives you the source for Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, the idea that you don't overlap smachot. Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Lazer, quoting Rabbi Hananya, says, I added in the words that are in brackets, that you don't get married on the Moed, Al Shem Sh'ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, because we don't overlap smachot. Rabbi La, Shama Lamin Hadah, Rabbi La, also known as Rabbi Ila, learned it from the following pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. It's talking about a dedication of the first Beis Hamikdash. And it says, Ki Chanukah Samiz Be'achasu Shivas Yamim, Be'achas Shivas Yamim. 7 days they did the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, separate from the 7 days for Sukkos. They didn't overlap them. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Shamalam and Hadar. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha says, Who needs that pasuk? Malei Shivu Azos. Lavan told Yaakov, Wait, 7 days, right? You have your 7 days to celebrate with Rachel. And then after that, and then you can marry Rachel. But he said you have to wait for 7 days. That's the source for Sheva Brachos. That's the idea that you don't overlap the Simcha. Lavan gets all sorts of halachos accredited to him. Not to mention, what do we say at a Badaken? Right? Achoseinu ad hayila feiro ava. Right? That's Lavan, Lavan's family's bracha to Rivka. Go figure. So take a look at Torah source Ted Zion. The Mara HaPanim comments on the fact that we're learning this from before Matan Torah. He says, Tosos with Pirkin, Tosos in Moed Katan, in the Bavli obviously, Chesam at Beis, Mivi and Lezeh, they quote this. Ula Kaman v'Perakei l'Megalchen Kasa b'Dav Chaf. Al-Hadid Darish Minayim La'Velus Shiva. Later on in Moed Katan, they ask the question, how do you know that Shiva is 7 days? And they quote you a pasuk, V'hafachti chagechem le'evel. I will turn your chag into avelus. So just like chag is, Shiva is 7 days, so to avelus is 7 days. So the Rishalmi asks, how do you know that it's only seven? Maybe it should be eight, because you have Sukkos, which Shmini Atzeres, which is 8 days. And the Gemara's answer, I'm translating him as I go here. The Omishani, he answers, no, because Shmini Atzeres is not really part of Sukkos, it's its own Yantif. It's not part of that core seven-day Chag. And then they ask, well, why didn't you learn from Yosef's Avelus for Yaakov? Vayas la'aviv evel shivas yamim. that he does a 7-day avelus for his father. Lo matzila asuya, you can't bring from there. Dazam kodem kvurahaya, because that was before, that was 7 days, was before he was even buried. Shiva is observed after a funeral, not after the burial, not before. Ubi Yerushalmi Mishani, but Yerushalmi says, you know why we don't learn from Yaakov and Yosef? De'ein lemeidin mikodem matan Torah. Because you don't learn the halacha from what happened before the Torah was given. That's Tosfos. This, all of this is Tosfos. So Tosfos says, we don't learn that Shiva is 7 days from Yaakov and Yosef. Because it's before Matan Torah. So the Mara Panim says, I don't understand. Ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You are willing to learn from Yaakov and Lavan, right? Malei Shavua Zos. You told me we don't learn from before Matan Torah, but here the Yerushalmi is trying to do it. And Maraponim continues to say, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara itself does it. The Gemara itself brings this idea of learning from before Matan Torah in the second paragraph of the Maraponim. But I'm going to jump to the third paragraph in the interest of time. He says, Yesh li Yashib. He says, I'll tell you how you resolve this. L'mayshin kasu atosas kan. Lefisha ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha gezeras hakasuv. Kedarish lekaman mikodesh lavo. He says, the idea that you don't overlap smachot is not a logical argument. It's simply gezeras hakasuv. It's just because the text says they did 7 days for this and 7 days for that. They gave them each 7 days. That tells me I don't overlap smachot. It's not a logical, rational argument. It's just, it's a pasuk. That's it. And he says, that's different from the Malei Shavua Zos source for Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Malei Shavua Zos, waiting a week after Leah, which he says, that has tam to it. There's a logic to it of, it's not nice that you're going to marry her and then immediately get involved with somebody else. You're not giving her the proper respect. You're not giving her the proper focus. That's not right. It's a logical thing. It's not a textual thing. So he says, the rule that we don't learn from before Matan Torah is, if you have a pasuk and you want to learn something from the text itself, the rule is, ad Matan Torah, nitna Torah niskacha halacha. Everything is reset ad Matan Torah. Right? It's like conversion resets all the relationships. Matan Torah resets Torah. But where it's a matter of logic, right? Like the idea that each person deserves their own simcha, they deserve their own focus. That is a logical principle. It isn't about before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah, and therefore you could apply it. And the same thing is true, going back now to our discussion. The idea of showing respect to the elder and saying they should be able to go first, right? That idea is a logical idea. It's not a textual idea. It's a logical idea. And so therefore, it's possible to make the argument that you would learn from Lavan and from Aram, right? Kabbalah Zahamis Mimisha Amaro, as the Rambam says in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, you take truth from wherever it is found, and if it happens to be in Lavan's mouth, nope, so it's in Lavan's mouth. But that's why we adopt this idea and say that in the event that you have two siblings who are both ready to get married, meaning they have the shidduch, it's all lined up, they're ready to go, they're engaged. So then we say, okay, so let the older one go first, after which the younger one.
Is that why Yaakov was allowed to marry two women? Because it is before Matan Torah.
So that's one answer for how he's able to marry two women, yes. That's the dominant answer for how he could get away with it, yes. Yes, indeed. So God willing, next week we continue with the Bisley wedding ring. The case in which a young man puts a piece of Bisley on a woman's finger and says the Harayat formula, and in the story that happened that Rav Asher Weiss dealt with, she didn't hear him well and she just laughed and she ate the Bisley. And the Adam thought that means that they're married. So we'll have to deal with what happened in that case, God willing, next Monday night. Thank you.